Good morning. How y'all doing today? Yeah, that's right. Good. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. And if you look outside, you sure couldn't tell that, could you? If you're a guest, we're very glad to have you with us here at First Mennonite and hope you do feel warmly received and have a meaningful time of worship with us. This Sunday is the third Sunday of Advent. Next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent. That makes sense. But it's also Christmas Eve, which doesn't always happen that way. Now, I'm looking at our church calendar. There's not a lot on the calendar this week, but next Sunday being Christmas Eve, we'll have a brunch instead of Sunday school at 9:30. And in the evening, we'll have a Christmas Eve evening service, and that starts at 6:30, and it will involve the children, and any children who come and want to be part of it can be part of it. And I'm wondering if Donna or Linda have anything to say. Is Donna here? Are you going to speak for Donna? Okay, Dale's going to speak for Donna.
Yes. The program is at 6:30. So anyone, any child can participate. If you could be here with the child at 6:30 or 6:15 for sure. And I checked with the children in Sunday school this morning what they wanted to be. If you know what your child wants to be and wants to call me or Donna this week, then we can get those outfits found and put out. So they could be angels, shepherds, kings, Mary, Joseph. They just need to let us know. And so all can participate. There's no practice time, just when we hear, when we'll help them go up when we hear their names or their role being called out. So just let us know if ahead of time, if you know what they want to be. If not, we'll figure that out when they come. A second announcement is that if you're around on Tuesday, be sure to stop by for some goodies. 1312 North Court, from 9 to 6 anytime.
Not the whole time, though. No. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll consider that. Okay. Robin's going to be there all day. Did you want to say anything about the brunch? No? Okay. Linda says the brunch is self-evident in the bulletin there. I guess, okay. Very good. All right, other announcements. That's it? Well, that's unusual too, isn't it? Well, we have gathered this morning to worship God. So as we listen to the prelude, let's set aside distractions, turn our attention to the Lord, and prepare to worship.
Thank you. We'll be reading Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56, Mary's song.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful for the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extended to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm.
He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
We wait. We trust in God. We live in joy, lighting the joy candle.
I light it for myself.
It's hard to do it.
I can do this for you.
The angel announced, "With God, all things are possible."
And Mary replied, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your will."
Let it be. In silence. Amen.
Thank you.
Come to prayer through Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy."
Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams of the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. Let's pray together. God, we come together today to worship. Some of us come with tears. Some of us come with joy. But we all come, God, to be restored. May we take advantage of this time spent here with you to be renewed in our relationship to you, our relationships to one another, and may we bring honor and gratitude to you in worship. May our time here honor you, glorify you, give you thanks, and may we be transformed into greater likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are here worshiping you today. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our offering this morning is for benevolence. May our offering be for us an act of worship and a sign of our lives devoted to God. God's, and all that is in it as well. God, we bring an offering as worship. It is a declaration of who you are and who we hold you to be. Our desire, God, is that your kingdom come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we go to God in prayer today, see, Jake, you're here with us today. You were under the knife not too many days ago, weren't you? Over 48, and that went well, apparently. Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, just over 48 hours ago, I was in a hospital bed, just waking up. I brought the actual box with me today. I thought it'd be hilarious. And
the box you had removed?
Yeah, from my chest. And yeah, it looks like a pacemaker. But yeah, this thing has been causing me a lot of pain for the past 4 or 5 years, and I finally was able to get it out. I want to thank you all for your prayers. It went very, very successfully. I was in and out within 45 minutes. I was in and out of the operating room. So it went really, really well. So, yeah. So thank you.
Sure. Glad that worked out.
And Marie, you've had a lot of stuff going on in your life. A lot of stuff. You don't want the microphone? Okay. Okay, you're closing on your house, your new house, on the 29th, and you will be moving.
I'm not sure that I'll be able to have surgery now.
Your surgery was scheduled for the 26th.
Yeah, I don't know. They can't give me anything. They give me something. They don't postpone surgery anyway. So it's kind of up in the air. I go back to the doctor tomorrow.
Okay. You'll maybe make a decision real soon then about that. But the house thing looks like it's on track. Okay, well, that's great. All right, well, we want to keep holding Marie and Jeff in prayer as they go through some stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Glenn and I won't be here next week, we hope. We're hoping to leave sometime this week. We're hoping to get a phone call. No, we haven't got a phone call. She's still sitting and waiting. But we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Glenn and Aaron went fishing today, so they're gone. So no baby today, I hope. Also, we had a couple of joys this week, besides a baby. Our oldest grandson, Zach Denton, was accepted to KU Med program next fall. He will be starting his venture to becoming a doctor. Also, Dave called us on Friday at 4 o'clock and said, guess what? I got the new job. He's now been promoted once again in Coca-Cola Ozarks to a supervising manager, and he's really looking forward to this. And we need prayers. Last night I got a text. Eleanor was in the hospital. She had dehydration and a high fever, and she did finally get to go home, but I think she's probably one sick little girl this week. And I'm hoping she gets better.
Well, I would appreciate prayers for our grandson, Halen, who is 9. He has, over the last few years, has had a issue with vomiting, and they don't know what's causing it. They thought it was food allergies, and so his whole diet was changed, and for about a year, that seemed to take care of it. But it is all back again. And they were at a gastroenterologist for children in Wichita, and they have discovered, they think, something may now be wrong with the liver. So they are testing, running a lot of tests with that at this point, and we don't know. There are a number of possibilities of what it is. We don't know what it, at this point, they haven't decided yet. So we would certainly appreciate prayers for healing and hopefully the joy of becoming better.
Spending a lot of time in the hospital.
Not in the hospital, but he has missed a lot of school because of that. And they don't want him in school. They, you know, not knowing whether it's really the flu or something. And so he's been having to go home, and we've gotten to babysit for him a number of times and that kind of thing. Yeah, so we appreciate it.
I came to church this morning, and I have something to share that
been dealing with for about 15 years. It has gradually gotten worse, and it's noticeably worse in the last couple of years. I apologize to anybody I bump into accidentally. I have limited vision, and it's getting to the point that it's scary for me to drive a lot of places besides to and from work. As you all know, I have a shop outside of town, and I have to be very conscious about the traffic flow between where I live on Chestnut Street and where my shop is on the east side of town. And I've been conscious of that for a number of years now because of my vision. There's nothing they can correct about it. It's gradually going to deteriorate. If you have questions, reference what's happening, I'll be glad to answer. Your prayers and thoughts are very appreciated. I am in the process of making some major decisions, reference work, and the decision that a lot of people make 20 years down the road from where I am age-wise. I'm having to maybe make those decisions now before I'm 60. So a lot of change is going to happen. Thank you.
Okay, this is... We want to keep Randy in prayer. He's dealing with a pretty serious situation, and he's not sure what the future holds for him. And I appreciate, Randy, your real consideration for others in this, but we want to hold you up in prayer and for your wisdom and for medical help that you'll be getting. I notice he's sitting on the bench alone. Anybody want to join him?
After the prayers for trouble that we've heard about today, it's hard to. I guess I should have been the first one. Then it would have been easier to say something. That our joy today is our exchange student from 10 years ago, Fun Bensapongsapan. From Thailand, she is now studying in Sweden for working on her master's degree. And to get here, she did not take the short way. She started in Sweden, went to California, flew to Wichita, will leave from Kansas City and fly to Florida, and then back to Sweden. So we're very happy to have her, and she's happy to be here. Here, worshiping with you today. Yes. And she's the same wonderful person that she was 10 years ago.
Welcome here.
Just an update on our neighbor John, who had hip surgery. He's doing well. He's walking with a walker, not getting in and out of his house real well because they don't have it ramped, but he is doing better. We also found out this week that our neighbor on the other side, who is a college student at McPherson College, had surgery this past week. We don't know what for. Jason hasn't had a chance to get over there and talk to him if he's even home. So pray for Arya is his name. They're from Nepal. They're two young men living there. One is our high school student at the high school, and the other one is the McPherson College student, but they're from Nepal. And then also, Jason got a text message this morning. A gentleman that we have known for a number of years now through the CMA group here in town, George Stout, had a accident yesterday with a chainsaw. Meeting his face. So we don't know the circumstances behind it. We don't know if he's in the hospital or anything. We just got the email, and he got it this morning. So pray for George. George is not a young man anymore. So he's probably 60, he's somewhere between 65 and 70, I'm sure. He's not quite as old as I am, I don't think. But pray for him. Jason's test last Tuesday, as I said in Sunday school, was kind of a wasted trip to Salina. They didn't give us any answers, and they basically didn't find anything. That's a good thing. Yeah. Anything else?
Bobby.
A friend of ours that we've known for years and years and now lives in Parson, Bobby Billmeyer, had back surgery in October and fell on Friday. And she went to the emergency room at the hospital there in Parsons, I guess, and they basically told her, "We ain't helping you." When as soon as she said, "It's my back," after the back surgery. So she's kind of holding on until she can go to her doctor tomorrow, locally. Bobby has a lot of problems, has had problems with her back ever since I've known her. And so pray for her.
Thank you.
Let's go to God in prayer. God, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of this season. You are Lord of our lives. And we want you to be the Lord of each one of us. God, we remember the word that you bring to us through this Christmas season, that the world is in darkness. And we know this. And we wait in the darkness. And fear is our instinct. And in your time, you will bring light into the darkness and good news into our lives. And so, God, we believe that. And we trust in that. And we wait for you, hoping, God, to recognize the good news when it does come into our lives. We pray your forgiveness for our impatience, for our failure to trust in you, for our unwillingness and our unyieldedness in recognizing the good news that you bring to our lives. Even that which we do not expect. We have a lot of people on our minds right now, God. And we trust that you are present and working in their lives, that you are the helping hand ready to embrace, to reach out, to guide, to walk us through the stuff that comes our way. I thank you, God, for the healing which Jake has experienced. And we hold up to you, Halen, as he is going through a difficult and challenging time for a young guy. We pray you might bring healing and wisdom to him. We continue to hold up to you, Marie and Jeff, as they just walk through a lot of stuff right now too. But thank you, God, for the ways that you say, "Hey, I'm here. I'm with you."
And we especially are mindful of Randy right now as he is dealing with a frightening situation. We feel with him the fear that he must feel, the uncertainty of his future. We want him to know, God, that we are walking with him, and more importantly, that he might experience your great loving presence and embrace your wisdom as you give it to him and guide him. We pray, God, for the medical people who are working with him, attending to him, for your wisdom and your healing power to him through them. Thank you, God, for his concern for others as he goes through this. We pray for his eyes. God, we thank you for your church around the world, a church which brings good news of great joy to all people. All people. May we see your world and your vision for your people in the way that you do. May we truly be the living presence, the body of Christ on your planet as we await our Lord's return. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Invite Dale, you got the children's feature, and the kids to come forward for the children's offering and the children's feature.
Read a story about joy. I think you'll like it. Let's just wait till we get there, okay?
I'm going to open the present,
Tucker. A night, the story is a night of great joy. I think you'll like the pictures. The world was silent, and most everyone was fast asleep. What seemed like an ordinary night, with the moon and the stars shining brightly overhead, would become a night like no other. A woman named Mary was traveling with her husband. Do you know who he was?
Joseph,
and arrived in Bethlehem late one evening. Mary was pregnant, and they needed a place to rest for the night. They stopped at every inn they found, looking for a place to stay. But at every door they came to, the innkeepers just shook their heads. No room. Then a man offered shelter to Mary and Joseph. Looks like she needs a place to rest, the innkeeper said. All I have is my stable. It's not much, but at least it's warm and dry. Finally, they had a place to rest. Although it was only a stable for oxen, cattle, and donkeys, it was just right. Joseph helped Mary down from the donkey. With great relief, she lay on a bed of straw. That night, Mary gave birth to God's only son. His cries in the night echoed through the quiet streets of Bethlehem. People could hear his cries. They came out to listen. "Hello, Jesus," Mary whispered, as she looked down at her precious baby boy. Then she gently laid him upon the straw in a wooden manger. Mary and Joseph felt blessed that God had chosen them to care for this very special baby. The animals gathered close in awe of God's great gift. Not far away, there were shepherds caring for their sheep on a hillside.
Where's the donkeys?
They're in the stable. Suddenly, a bright light shone, and an angel appeared before them. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "God has sent me to tell you the greatest news. This very night, a Savior is born in the city of David." Then the night burst into brilliant light and beautiful sound as hundreds of angels filled the sky. "Glory to God," they sang, "peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind." Far off in the east, three wise men saw a brilliant star and knew it would lead them to the newborn king. The wise men traveled to Bethlehem with precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. All those gathered under that bright star were filled with joy, and they knelt down to worship the child. There are lots of them in the stable, aren't there? Get the last one. At last, the Savior of the world had come. Joy to the world. We just sang that song, didn't we? Okay. Okay, we're going to let... we're going to let Everett get the bag. Just bring the bag here. Bring the bag. Thank you. Okay.
What's in there?
Oh, something we'll really like. What do you think?
Candy.
An almond joy.
No.
Okay.
Can I have one for my sister?
I will give her one.
Actually, I do want
one. You can't have You want Hayden? Okay. Okay, thank you.
I will be reading Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Used to be, you drive through West Virginia, southern Ohio, and you would see signs that read, "Coal is king," but not no more. More recently, if you drive through this region, you'll see signs that will likely read, "Stop the war on coal." I guess that's one perspective as energy production moves beyond coal. In the presidential election, Donald Trump carried the region by promising to end the war on coal. This spring, President Trump signed a reversal of the federal moratorium on coal leases and regulations regarding streams. And he said to the miners that were invited to the ceremony, "You know what this means. It means you're going back to work." Does it? Truth is, the new reality is coal no longer is king. And it won't be again. The apple cart of life in West Virginia is already being upset. West Virginia, coal is mostly gone. Once it employed 130,000 people, today maybe 20,000 people. McDowell County was once a major coal producer. It had 100,000 residents. Today it has about 20,000 residents. And opioid addiction and drug overdoses have become part of the culture. The West Virginia rate is 2.5 times the national average. So a whole way of life, a once proud culture, a once stable economy,
was passed from one generation to the next. It's gone. And it's not coming back. Coal was king. And now what will the people do? You can feel for them. What is their future? What will be their way of life? What will be their culture? What will support their economy? What will they pass on to their children and to the next generation? Will they even stay around? It is big time apple cart upset in coal country, West Virginia. And the people are scared and the people are angry. Apple cart upset is a reality. Whether it's a major, serious, seismic cultural and economic shift that's happening all over the world today, or it's a less serious but still unwelcome, unexpected intrusions that happen to all of us in our daily life. Nobody welcomes apple cart upset. Nobody likes it when you get your apple cart upset. So what do you do? What do you do when the apple cart upsetter is God? Our scripture story today, Mary gets her apple cart upset. And the one doing the upsetting is God. The angel Gabriel walks onto the stage once again. He's been real busy. 6 months ago, he visited Zechariah while Zechariah was in the temple serving as a priest. And there, Gabriel upsets the apple cart, sort of. At least he does for Zechariah, who had to now learn sign language rather quickly. But mostly, this upset was good news. After all these years of waiting, Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. They're going to name him John. Well, now Gabriel comes to Mary. Mary was young. She was probably a teenager. She was likely living with her parents. She had already been pledged in an arranged marriage made by her parents, and this was a public and legally binding agreement. She was pledged to Joseph, who was a woodworker. Mary's life was arranged, mapped out for her in order. First, pledged to a man who was chosen for her. Later, a wedding ceremony. Then, move into her husband's family's household. Pledged, wife, children, mother, in that order. Until someone upsets the apple cart. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And it says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what does this mean? Something's up, and she knew it. Just wait till she hears what comes next. Mary was about to have her apple cart upset. Don't be afraid. Okay? You're going to have a baby. Eventually, in time, I hope so. Sooner. I mean, you're going to have a baby. And his name will be Jesus. Yehoshua in the Hebrew. God will save. He will be called Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary stammers out, well, how can this be? She better be careful or she's going to end up learning sign language. But how would you react? That's impossible. I don't believe you. Or, great. Now how am I going to explain this? Or, no, please, no. This is a disaster. It's going to ruin my life. Or maybe just laugh. Silly angel. Mary asks, how can this be? And Gabriel goes on, the child within you is a miracle of God. Nothing is impossible with God. That's how. So, an unplanned pregnancy? I don't think so. It's definitely a planned pregnancy. Just not her plan, or anyone's plan. God is upsetting the apple cart. Upsetting the apple cart for sure. And how does Mary respond? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. A teenage young woman, pregnant, just put in a very difficult, even a shameful situation, not at all what she planned, and her response is, I am the Lord's servant. That's who I am. Let it be to me according to your word. Now we get a pretty good idea, don't we, of why God chose her to be the one to raise our Lord and Savior. Mary assumes her life is not her own. Her life is God's, and her life is in God's hands, and that's just fine. Even when her apple cart just got dumped over, even when her life just got so much more difficult, divorce, public humiliation, shame for the rest of her life, maybe so. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be so. After all, it was God. God was the one upsetting the apple cart. Now, I don't generally respond that way to apple cart upset. How about you? Problem for me, problem for us, it's not our instinct. I know what I want. I've got my plans. I'm working my plans. I don't respond well when someone upsets my apple cart. So we resist. We react. How about you? But what if it's God behind the upsetting? You know, it just could be. In family systems therapy, there is a principle called homeostasis. Families, extended families, have a commitment, have an unspoken pledge to homeostasis. Keep things the same. Keep things settled as they are, the way we do it, business as usual. Don't rock the boat. Don't upset the apple cart. Homeostasis. And even in dysfunctional situations like abuse or alcoholism, don't upset the apple cart. Even when the change could be a good thing, when rocking the boat or upsetting the apple cart would be a good thing. No, keep it the same, exactly as we have it, settled. Don't upset the apple cart. A commitment to homeostasis. And the challenge is to get families to move beyond what they think of as normal. And some of that same principle works in churches too. Don't upset the apple cart. Even if there's an apple cart or two that really ought to be upset. And the art of being an intentional interim pastor, or really the art of being a pastor, is knowing which apple cart and how many to upset. Churches, like families, all have a silent pledge to homeostasis. Keep things settled, the same. Don't rock the boat. Don't upset the apple cart. But you can probably see there's a problem with that. Because the very nature, the very activity of God is to upset the apple cart. That's what God does. Just ask Mary. Read the words in Mary's song, the Magnificat. Or look at Jesus. God upsets apple carts. Now, true, not every apple cart upset is of God. Not everyone is good. Sometimes the upset really is bad, unwanted. It's bad news. And just look at the world, we can see that. But then again, sometimes it's God. Sometimes it's God, and sometimes it's personal. Are you ready for God to upset your apple cart? When that happens, are you okay with that? Most of us aren't. But Mary was. And she was called blessed. This young teenage girl who just learned she was pregnant and just got her apple cart dumped over, she has something to say to us. First thing, when your apple cart gets dumped over, stop. Ponder. Consider. Is it possible that God is the one doing the dumping? Could this apple cart upset be something that God has brought into your life? Because that's the kind of thing that God does. So stop, ponder, consider, reflect. Could it be God? And then second, if it might be God, don't react like Zechariah. Don't react. Respond more like Mary. Respond to that upset apple cart. After all, just who do I think I am? What do I deserve? How much do I really understand anyway? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. You see, God is in the business of apple cart upset. Not homeostasis, apple cart upset. And God loves you. And we live in the hands of God. The very best hands in which to be. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be so. That's a joyful thought. Amen. Let's pray. God, we know that we want the world to change, but we're not so sure we want our lives to change. And yet you are in the business of changing both. So let it be so. We are servants of the Lord. Holy is your name. So let it be to us. Let it be to me according to your word. Through Christ we pray. Amen. My soul is filled with joy. That's the Green Book, page 13. We'll stand as we sing. Thank you. Come to worship so that we might be reminded whom we serve. You are the Lord's servants. Let it be so. Now go forth, renewed in his love, and serve the Lord. Amen.